Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. And let's see your pens. Pens. And let's see your new and designed purple lavender real simple bulletins. All right. Did everybody, when they did the announcements, did they talk to you about the memory verse of the week? Did you guys correct that? Okay, turn inside flap. We're going to put your memory verse there every week. Right inside the flap, and obviously this verse will match what's on Rock University on the internet. If you don't know what that is, go to our webpage. We're reading through the Bible this year, and we are studying through the Bible, and Rock University will have this amongst many other things. But if you look at the memory verse, it's really long. Here's what I want you to do. Get your pen out. I'm going to have you cross some stuff out here. Okay. We had a little Bible college flashback when we wrote this. If you see in the middle, it says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Does everybody see that? Okay, from the word, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Everything else you can cross out. Now, what did he say? The words, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant for good." Everything else you can cross out. Okay? So that's the memory verse for the week, Genesis 50, verse 19. And what did he say? I'm only joking. I know someone's going to come and ask me. Now, are we supposed to cross that out? Are you saying... Okay, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but my God meant it for good." Everything else you can cross out. Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 28. We are doing a Miles Ahead crusade July 4th at the Coors Amphitheater, and we are going to implement a countywide prayer strategy for every teenager in San Diego. And what I'm going to, at least that's our goal. And we are going to try to get churches to adopt schools, high schools, junior highs, elementary, whatever in their community, and pray for each kid in that school by name. So simply, if all of you just got one kid that you would pray for. And we're going to also extend this through all the youth groups. And so teenagers are praying for their classmates in their classes, prayer walk in their halls. So we would see God do something bigger than even the crusade. That he would just do something countywide. And all of us would adopt a child in this city. It could be your neighbor, some of your children's friends. And so as part of that, I'm speaking at this event on this January 26th, which is teenage leaders and youth pastors to encourage them to continue their ministry on their campus. So if you have a teenager or you're a youth pastor from another church visiting, we would like you to go out. There's a table right outside the lobby, first priority, and you can go sign up and come to that, or if you want to just pray for that event. And we just hope that these kids who are already on campuses can be encouraged. But I want you to be praying about the crusade because we're going to try to get and give people names. If you want to pray for someone, what's best is if it's someone you know. But there are schools all around San Diego, people are not praying for them. And they got drugs in the schools, gangs in the schools, violence in the schools. And we're sitting around letting it happen in the sense that we can be praying that God would do something supernaturally because there are a lot of Christians in these schools who are the minority in the schools and they're getting overrun by the evil. And we need to pray for those Christians and pray for those kids that God could do something supernaturally. So I'm real excited about what God's going to do when we start doing that. And even go to the police and say, give us some of the names of the juveniles in this town who are being arrested or who are on your hit list to get arrested. Let's pray for those kids, the gang members and drug dealers, kids who have been suicidal, Christian kids killing themselves. You know, it happens all the time. And we need to pray for our kids. And if we can get a picture, and if you have a student with a yearbook, get the yearbook out and pick a picture out and say, that's the kid I'm praying for. And so I'm just to see what God's going to do. Okay, let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the daily walk in Rock University and just learning through the Bible. And I pray that you would teach us and challenge us this morning to trust you, to be good stewards of everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 28. How many people, by raise a hand, are reading through the Bible with us this year? Just raise your hand. Very good. Oh, good, good, good. So if you're not reading through the Bible, you can get your Daily Walk, which is a little tiny magazine that you can pick up in the Rock Pile store and read every day for the whole year. And then hit Rock University on the internet, and we're going through the Bible, and I want to challenge you to do that. And right now we're in Genesis, which is, to me, is my favorite book in the Bible. There's no question. And I love the stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the miracles in the Bible that God did, and all the supernatural things, and how these guys walk by faith. And as we read about them walking and doing all this stuff, we have to remember they had no cars, they had no phone, no internet, no television. They just lived like Bedouins out in the middle of nowhere. And if you ever go to Israel, you can see people who still live this way, in tents. And they have fire, and there's no electricity, no running water. They have little goats they herd around, and they live out in the middle of nowhere. It is a trip, okay? But they still live this way. Some of these people. But what I want to talk today about is part two in our series, A Trusted Steward. And we talked last week about a steward being someone who manages something that doesn't belong to them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards or managers of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And God requires us to manage what he has given us faithfully. Not only physically, not our clothes, only our clothes, our homes, our children, our money, but also the mysteries of the gospel. Do you manage the mysteries of the gospel properly? Do the people who work with you, go to school with you, live on your block, know that you know the gospel? Do they know that? Or do they go, oh, yeah, they go to church. But are you managing the gospel where, you know, you're going to dish out a little bit over here and dish out a little bit over here? Or are you just kind of to yourself? Well, let me tell you something. If your neighbors don't know that you are Christian, and if you aren't intentionally, specifically loving them with the gospel, praying for them, encouraging them, and when the opportunity is right and you're looking for it, sharing the gospel, you're not managing it properly. Okay? So you're required to manage the gospel. Now, last week we talked about step one in being a good steward is Jesus being your Lord. And I asked you a question if you were here. Is Jesus your Lord? Not the one who forgave you your sin, but your Lord, your master. And if you want to get that tape that's out there, we're not going to get into that. But today, my question is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Now, next week we're going to talk about, does God trust you? Okay, and hopefully that'll challenge us, because God looks around. He goes, I would like to give them a blessing, but they'll mess it up. I would like to give them a date, but they'll just get all crazy on me. They'll forget me. Some of you God is not giving blessings to because you'll forget him. So next week we're going to talk about, are you trustworthy? Because a lot of you may be wanting God to do something for you or through you, and he's going, I would like to do that too, but you're not ready. Well, guess what? There are things you can do to get ready. Amen? Amen? And the exciting thing about it, and I'm not going to get into this too long, the exciting thing about it is to look ahead into something God doing something through you and saying, man, I think God will do that, but I'm going to get ready for it. That's fun. That's fun. I give a perfect example. We don't have a building for this church, right? I believe we're going to have one. And I believe it's going to come when we're ready. Not only me, but all of us are ready, because it's going to be a bigger responsibility. But what I'm doing now, which is a whole lot of fun, is looking, right? I'm getting ready. He's like, not yet. Okay, but I'm still getting ready. He says, not yet. Go home. I want to look. So the other day, my wife and I, we dropped our daughter off at volleyball practice. It was Friday night here at the school. And it was 2 hours, so we're not going to sit there and watch it for 2 hours. My wife said, what are we going to do? It's kind of boring, you know. So we said, let's drive around town and look for what God's going to do. So we heard there's a building down here for sale, and we went and counted the parking spaces. Two things we got to have was we got to have a big room and a lot of parking spaces. If you have one without the other, it doesn't do any good. So this place has a big enough room, but it only has 200 parking spaces. So we're in the parking lot. You know, it was dark out. I remember it was like 8 o'clock, and we're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we're driving through, and the security guard's following us. And we're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we stop, and we write the little number. Then we count 1, 2, 3. And we did that for like 20 minutes, right? And we said, too small. It's too small. So we drove down University. This was on University. We drove down University, and we came to a big old Kmart store on the corner of University and 54th. Big old parking lot, big old building. Now, God has not told me, or it's not for sale. It's not for sale. People are in it shopping. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So we drove around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And God said, get ready now. 1, 2, 3. 800, 801, 802, 800. Literally, there was about 1,000 parking spaces. And I wrote it down. I said, okay, God said, I need 1,000 parking spaces minimum, and I need about this many square feet. So here I am, 901, 902, 903, 9. Here it is, 1,000 parking spaces. Big old parking lot. Big old building. So we get out the car, and we're walking in the building. People are buying stuff. Okay. Thinking, I want that cash register. I want that cash register. I want that mini. They have a little restaurant thing in there. And if you want to see it and have fun, go down college, go to university, go down to the university in 54th. You see, you can't miss it. It's like about 15 acres. For real. But my point is this. We may not end up there. It doesn't matter. Because wherever we end up, it's where God wants. But you know what he said to me? He says, listen, get ready. Start thinking about what you would put in it. Because what if he said, okay, here's a building. What would I do if I hadn't thought about it? So the fun part is getting ready for that, okay? Well, part of getting ready to be a good steward is what we're going to talk about today, is trusting God. Do you trust Jesus? Now, in the story, Jacob is looking for a woman. And he's going to Beth-El. And Beth-El is the house of God. Beth is house. El is God. Remember we talked about Beth. Lahem is the house of bread. Lahem being bread and Beth being house. Remember that? If you weren't here, you just got a lot of Hebrew. That's all the Hebrew I know. But in the story, he's walking and he has a dream. Look at verse 12. And he dreamed. And he dreamed or dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am. Everybody say, I am. He didn't say, I was. He didn't say, I'm going to be. He says, I am. I am. I am who I am. Okay? I am is a verb in Hebrew, means to be. I am. He always was. God always was, had no beginning. If someone ever asked you, when did God have a beginning? Say he never had a beginning. And if you say, how is that? Say, I have no idea. There's some things about God you can't explain. He's God. So he says, I am. But look what he says after that. He says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The first question you have to ask yourself, do you trust in the identity of your God? In other words, when you get on your knees at night, are you praying to the same God that's in the Old Testament? Or are you praying to another God? Or are you praying to the same God with a different abilities or mindset? When I get on my knees, I trust that the same God that told Abraham, that told Isaac, now is getting ready to tell Jacob that he was going to bless them, is the same God I'm praying to. I trust that the same God that delivered the Israelites from bondage and slavery in Egypt is the same God I'm praying to. The same God that sent the frogs on Egypt, the blood in the Nile, the locusts and the lice and the darkness on Egypt to deliver them. The same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that parted the Jordan, the same God that had water come out of the rock. That same God is the God I pray to. I believe that. Do you believe that? Or do you believe your God is the God of church? See, people have a church God. In other words, you go to church and you sing. Okay, and you may have an okay experience at church, so therefore your God is just okay. Your God is not the God of the Bible. See, you have to have your God, your experience with your God outside of church. See, when I got the reason I love, I'm a kinesthetic learner. Some people are visual. I learn visually, auditory. I don't even. I haven't learned it yet. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a kinesthetic learner where I learn by touching and moving. Like when I study, I can sit at the desk for a little while, but I got to get up and walk around. Okay? Now I walk around, walk outside, now I pray, and okay, God, and so for me to go to a building, I could drive by the building. For me to get out and count and walk around the building and feel the air, you know, breathe the air, look at the ceiling, how high is it, how can I bust this out, and dig this down, put a theater in, boom, that's how I get it. So when I leave, I'm like, okay, God, can you do all that? He goes, no problem. No problem. Is your God the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you trust it? That's who you're talking to. Because if you really, 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 really trust that that's your God, what can't he do? So when you're reading through the Bible and seeing that he's doing all this stuff, you have to say, that's my God. That's my God. That's my friend. He can do all that. There's nothing he can't do. But if your God is, as I said, a church God, if your God is as big as what you have seen in your life, because maybe you say, well, my God's only this big because that's only what he's done. No, you need to match the God up in your heart with the God up in here. And then you need to say, Lord, I want to experience more of that God. I want to see you bigger than I've seen you. I want to see you do bigger miracles in my life. I want to hear you speak more clearly to me than I've ever heard before. You got to want that. And you got to expect that. And you got to buy faith. So when I go down to the building, I don't even know how much that building cost. You know what? Right now, I don't even care. Now, if they tell me they want to sell it, then I'm going to care. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to call Kmart International. Say, Kmart International, you have the store on the corner of Oklahoma, University of 54. You know what? Nobody's in there. I went by there every day last week and it was empty. Do you know that? I just want to let you know. They're writing graffiti all over it. They're burning it down. You might want to sell that bad boy. That's fun. Even if they say, click. Let me introduce you to our manager, Click. Mr. Click. We can pray. And God can say, not there. Got someplace better. Or God can say, what's God going to do? But you know what you're doing? You're telling God, God, I believe you're that big. I believe you're that big. And if you believe God is big, guess what? God's going to show you a big dream. And he's going to raise your sights of what you would attempt. Let me read a little quote to you. I wrote this in my bed. This is the original. Nothing else I say is. The degree of your trust in his identity will be matched by the intensity and intimacy of your relationship with him. The degree of trust in his identity will be matched by the intensity and intimacy of your relationship with him. You can only trust him as much as you know him. You can have information about God in your head, but that's not trust. But if you really know him to be faithful, know him to be powerful, know him to be loving through experience, then you can trust him. Because when everything's falling apart, you go, my God can handle this because I've seen it. My God won't leave me, as we're going to see in a minute, because I experienced it. So when you read in the Bible, or I'm going to tell you these names right now, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Well, you know he will provide because you've seen him provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Why? Because he's given you peace that surpasses all understanding. When everything was falling apart, you had that peace. So therefore, Jehovah Shalom is someone you know. Now, you may want to know more of him, but you know that's part of God. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. No matter where you go, he's there waiting for you. No matter where you've been, he's waiting for you to come back. Where you are now, he's already there. Jehovah Tzibbot, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Elohi Israel, the Lord of Israel. The same God that did all the stuff in the Bible for Israel is the same God that is in your room when you're sleeping, taking care of your little problems. That same God. Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. There is no name above his name because there is no authority or power above him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you're not praying to him, what are you praying to? You're praying to a little idol in your house, a little bowl of rice in your house. You're praying to your bank account, your relationship, your wife, your husband, your boss. No. I'm praying to the God Most High. And my God is above all of that. So if God wants me to have that, I'm going to have that. If God doesn't want me to have that, there's no way I should even try to get it. Don't even try to get it. God, I don't want to waste my time. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is healer. The Lord is healer, not your doctor. He use your doctor. He'll use your ibuprofen, your Motrin, NyQuil. NyQuil's the bomb, amen? NyQuil is good. I drink that stuff when I think I'm going to get sick. That doesn't taste all that good, but it works. I mean, I'd be going to bed. God is inexhaustible. God is inexhaustible. I went kayaking. We went out from Del Mar. We went about a mile out, me and this other guy. And it was a plastic kayak, the one you sit on top of, not the one you're in. So we went out. No, we didn't have any life jackets on. And we went out looking for stuff. And I'm going out saying, what are we looking for? Well, we'll look for sharks. So, you know, went out and looked for, you know, kelp and I don't know, but, you know, I'm not that kind of, I'm just following orders. So I'm going out. We went out about a mile. And there's a lot of water on this earth. Amen. And I'm thinking, now we're not strapped in. So we go out. I said, how deep is it right here? Oh, maybe 100 feet. Oh, maybe 150 feet. That's a lot of water. And I'm thinking, what happens if we fall off? How do we turn this thing back over? He tells me, okay. So we turn real slow. And as we turn, we get hit by a wave, and we fell off. Now, as we're falling, now the water's right here, so it's not really, it's like a, right? But it seemed like a long time. And I'm going over going, oh, we're falling. This is not good. There's fish in this water. We hit the water. Now, I had talked many times in the past about proprioception. Proprioception is the ability of your limbs and your body to know where it is in space. In other words, when you walk, the reason you don't have to look at the ground is proprioception tells you that the ground is right there. That's what proprioception does. That you take it for granted, but when you're drunk and your proprioception is distorted, that's why you walk like this, because you can't find the ground. Okay? Are y'all with me? Okay. When I went into the water, the proprioception of my whole body said, the ground is extremely far away. We're not getting any feedback from this radar that's sitting out by your feet. And I'm in this water, and when you're in a pool, you could feel the water. But when you're in the ocean out far, if you ever been out, it's a different feeling, ain't it? You can tell. You can tell that there ain't nothing around that you can grab on. And I'm in this water going, let's get back in the boat. I was scared to death. And he's swimming around. He's, you know, doing his thing and enjoying the drillions and drillions of gallons and fish that could be eating our feet. And I'm thinking there is no limit to this water. China is about way over there. Del Mar ain't even close. And you know God's love? It is inexhaustible. You can never get to the edge of it. It's endless. That's the God you pray to. How many times have you messed up? God's saying, I still love you. You know what's amazing about God? God knows everything about you and loves you anyway. Some of you ain't been here or any church months, years, your whole life. He ain't mad at you. He's probably saying, it hasn't been good being away, has it? Yeah, I need to go to church. But you need more than church. You need him. You need him. He's inexhaustible. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. He's omniscient. Means he knows everything. Everything. When you pray to God, oh, dear God, I don't know if you saw what happened yesterday. Yes, I did. I don't know if you know how I feel. Yes, I do. I don't know if you know what I need. Yes, I do. So why am I praying? Because I want you to seek me. I don't want you to seek things. I want you to seek me. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. There's nothing he can't do. First thing you got to do, do you trust the identity of the God you're praying to? Do you trust that he's the God of the Bible? Don't let him be the God of the church. Don't let him be the God of what you see or what you perceive. May it be the God that you read about. Next thing, do you trust his promises? Look what he says in verse 13. Verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac. And then look what he says. The land on which you lie, I will give you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you believe the promises of God? Let me tell you something. God will never give you a promise or make a promise that he won't give you the tools and resources to fulfill. Now, he may not give you the money, but he's going to give you the talents. He may not give you the talents, but he's going to give you the connections. He's always going to equip you with what he needs to get his job done, because it is his job. Do you believe in his promise? Forget, can you see how it's going to happen? Irrelevant. When I was driving down the building, there's no way it can happen today. But that's the most exciting part. It's saying, okay, if it's this big, it's going to cost this much money. And guess what? This is what God's going to do. Somehow. That's the fun part. Because you walk by faith, seeing God answer. Bam, bam, bam. It's happening. It's happening. But if you don't know what his promises are, what are you doing? You're looking for a job. What major do I take? You going to get away. You don't know what you're doing. You're going from person to person, friend to friend, date to date, wife to wife, husband to husband, job to job, house to house, career to career, and you're kind of just aimlessly looking for something instead of saying, God, what do you want? Guess what? Because when God tells you something, he's going to fulfill it. Let me read a verse to you. Hebrews 6:18, this is so good. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It's against his nature. Someone tells you they love you? Girls, ladies. I love you, girl. You have to say, hey, is this God? Nope. Well, then it is possible for him to lie. Amen? Fellas, same way. Oh, I love you. Mm-hmm. You're not God either. When God tells you he loves you, he's not lying. When God tells you he wants to use you, he's not lying. When God tells you he wants to bless you, he's not lying. When God tells you he wants to change and mold and shape your life, he's not lying. He's not lying. He can't lie. It's against his nature to lie because he's holy and righteous. Here's the catch, though. You got to trust him. When he makes you a promise, you have to hold your end of the promise. It's like God says, we're going to go over there and do this. The trick, I want you to grab my hand and don't let go, because I'm going to fly over there like Mary Poppins. And when I get up to the top, don't let go. And if you trust God and you hold on to his promise, you hold on to his hand, he's going to fulfill his promise, but you have to do your part, which is repent. You have to do your part. Read your word. You have to do your part. Pray. You have to do your part. Fellowship. You have to do your part. Obey everything he tells you by faith. Now, if you don't do that part, promises ain't going to work, because the promise is over there, and you can't get there unless you walk by faith. So the promise is doing the little things that you're supposed to do and seeing the blessing come. Now, there's also a negative side to the promise. Now, I shouldn't say a negative side. He promises that if you don't repent, that you experience his wrath. That's also a promise of God. And many people say, well, God's a loving God. He won't send me to hell. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. Well, my brother's like 8, 10. I can't remember how young we were. My next door neighbor had a barbecue. We used to have those barbecues where it was like a big plate, a little saucer, and you put the coals on top in the grill. I don't know if you remember that, but it was just a, you know, $9.99. And you put the coals in it. And my next door neighbor had just had this grill burning. And my brother had a CO2 cartridge, compressed air. You don't know what I'm talking about? It's a little metal thing about that. It has compressed air. You put it in a BB gun and you shoot BBs. Well, it was not used yet. And my father told my brother, don't put that in the coals, in the fire. It'll explode. So my brother, you know how kids think? You tell them what not to do? There's a side of the brain that goes, that's exactly what you're supposed to do, because they're trying to prevent you from having fun. So the devil told Eve and Adam, God's not trying to bless you. He's holding back blessings. If you eat from the tree, you'll be like him. That's what the devil says. So when the devil tells you, when someone tells you don't do something and you go do it, that's Satan. So, if they're right, by the way. So my brother, what does he do? He goes in the back, puts the CO2 cartridges in the fire, in the coals, climbs up into a tree above it. Okay? Not only was he disobedient, he was stupid. And he's in the tree like this, looking down to see if this thing explodes and rockets through his head. So he's down there. My father, in the meanwhile, is across the street in front of the house, on the other side of the street, talking with a neighbor. Just talking, whatever. But all of a sudden, boom! CO2 cartridge explodes, shoots right by my brother's head, goes over the house, and lands right in front of my father. Now, what do you think happened after that? Because my father wasn't one to lie and make idle threats, he beat the mess out of my brother. If you sin against God, you have to pay consequences. But if you obey God and trust God and walk with God and do the little things faithfully with God, you get blessed. Period. End of story. There is no middle. You're either obedient and reaping the whirlwind, or you're blessed. Disobedient, or you're blessed and being obedient. Let me read this quote to you. Another quote. Original wrote this up last night. The degree of your trust in his promises matches the degree of your actions to pursue it. The degree of your trust in his promises will match the degree of your actions to pursue him. If you believe God has called you to do this, then you go do it. I can just watch you and see how much you believe it. Now, if you're hemming and hawing and trying to find, well, it won't work because of this, it won't work because of that, and you don't believe God then.
But if God said it, then you need to say, you know what? We're going to figure out how to do this. And in the as we pursue it by doing, he is going to guide and direct us with his wisdom. Now, let me tell you what wisdom is. Knowledge is facts. Experiences are experiences, and you have all those in your life. God's wisdom says, I want you to use this in this situation. I want you to use this piece of information in this situation. But man's understanding says, when this happens, here's what we do. But it doesn't work that way with God. Because God will cause you to do stuff that goes beyond and against man's wisdom. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Because your understanding and my understanding, it's not his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So if you trust in God's promise, you know what you do? You pursue it when it doesn't make any sense. I took a job when I was 24 years old, making $125 a week, when my house payment was over $1,000. Forget having cars, food, three kids. Did that make sense? No. You know what that job was? Ministry. I'm still doing it 15 years later. Now I can sit there and, wow. God says, you know what? I gave you a big mouth for a reason. I want you to use it right now, doing this. But God, it doesn't make any sense. I don't care. It doesn't make sense to you. It makes sense to me. You know why? Because through taking this job at $125 a week, $500 a month, I could pay for my garage for that. I'm going to teach you to pray. I'm going to teach you to trust me. I'm going to teach you to follow me, because there's going to be a lot of situations in your life I'm going to call you to do something, and you're going to have no idea how, but I want you to go. Do you trust in the promises of God? What does God promise in your life? If you don't know, let me tell you something. I would go home and I would ask him and write it down and find out before you go any further in your life. Because you could find yourself 40, 50, 60 years old going, you know what? This is not what God wanted for me. You don't want to do that. You want to be walking in God's promises every day. Because if you're walking in God's promises every day, you're seeing miracles happen every day. You're trusting by faith every day. You're looking for miracles. You're needing miracles because God has called you out to walk on water. You're saying, God, I don't want to sink. Trust me. I don't want to drown. Trust me. I don't want to get consumed by this rain and wind and waves. Trust me then. I want to go back to the boat. You a little faith. Go ahead. Go back to the boat. No, you want to walk on water. Next, verse 15. Do you trust God's faithfulness? Look what it says. I will be with you. I will keep you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. Look what he says. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, as long as you follow me, I'll be right there. As long as you trust me, I'm going to do everything I said. I'm never going to leave your side. You know, if God physically was there in front of us, our faith would be so much stronger. When I was 19 years old, first time I heard the gospel, I was staying at my girlfriend's house before I got saved and stay over there all the time and get high and do all kind of crazy stuff. I heard the gospel, prayed to receive the Lord. For about 10 days, I was in spiritual shock. I was just like a saint. I lived there, but I stayed there, but I didn't sleep with her. I didn't do drugs, nothing. I just stayed there. It was a habit. And I was laying in her bed, and the Lord appeared to me. I was so scared. It was the evening time. I don't know what I was doing. I was just laying in the bed, and all of a sudden, this person materialized. I know it's going to sound funny, but like on Star Trek, when they beam people in, and they fizzle into a person, except this person, who I believe wholeheartedly was Jesus, did not come as crystal clear as me, but it was definitely a outline of a body, of a man. And he stood there. I was so scared, I couldn't talk. I tried to talk. I don't know what I was going to say, but I opened my mouth. I tried to get up. I don't know where I was going to go, but I was just like, and nothing would come out of my mouth. My legs and arms would move. I tried to sweat. and my pores opened up to sweat. I was so scared, but the sweat wouldn't even come out. I said, I ain't got nothing to do with that. And then it went away. I don't know what that meant. Looking back on it, I could imagine. But you know what? It's almost like he was saying, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And I have something for you to do. God is right there. He says, I'll be with you. And I'm going to fulfill in your life what I said. Just believe that. And don't forget it. And here we are walking around. And God's just going, oh, here we go again. And he's walking with us going, oh, where they going? Where they going? No, I don't want you. And he's trying to go over here. No, I don't want to go over there, God. And he just, whenever you're ready, he's not going to make you do it. The Bible says, and this is a very interesting verse, in 2 Chronicles 6:15, I'll read it to you, 2 Chronicles 6:15. It's Solomon says, you have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. And listen to this. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand to this day. You remember that saying, when, I don't know if you said it when you were a kid. When I was a kid, we used to say it. Don't let your mouth write a check your behind can't cash. Y'all know what that means? Yeah, I'm going to beat you up after school. I'm going to beat you up after school. And then after school, you get beat up. Okay. A friend of mine's mother, she used to beat people up. She used to, she used to go to the window of the school, knock on the window of the school. And she used to do this. You get the picture? 3 o'clock, you getting both your eyes beat in. You know what God said? What I say, I do. And I'm going to be there. The only catch is you got to trust me. Because when I call you to do something, you are not going to know everything. Guaranteed. 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 I know you heard of the band Switchfoot. You heard about it? Say yes, because some of them are here right now. You make them feel good, okay? But I've known the drummer since he was about 8 years old. Their music is on TV, on secular shows and videos and in movies. I trust you. They didn't know that when God told them to play the music. I just know that. Well, I asked them and they told me, but I know they didn't know that. Let's get a band together, 3 of them. Just let it get a band together. We'll just play, roll past his kids, and the music is all over the world. You know what? They said, just do this, because God says, I got something. If you try to do what God's telling you to do, if you try to do it on your own, you would fail. You would fail. He has to do it, and he has to be there. Once he leaves you, you're done. Forget it. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. That's why if God doesn't want us to have that building, I don't even want to try. I don't even want to see it anymore. I don't want to think about it because I'll get all disappointed. What does God want? And so you have to believe, do you trust in his promises that he can never lie? In his presence. Lastly, do you trust in God's economics? Turn to chapter 28, verse 20. Verse 20, it says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me, as he said, keep me in this way, as he said, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Lord, just give me the basics. My two daughters dragged me into a JCPenney last night. And they wanted to get one thing. And I said, do y'all have money for this one thing? Oh, yes, Dad, we have. Oh, we can go shopping then. Let's go. Your money, right? How long is this going to take? 5 minutes, Dad. No problem. Let's go. 25 minutes later, I'm not in JCPenney, I'm in the mall, walking, and I'm looking around the mall thinking, you know what? We not only have clothes to wear, we have clothes to give away. We not only have food to eat, we have food to give away. We not only have a house for ourselves, but we can invite friends over.
will blast. Blast. And God keeps blessing us, and we keep saying, God, a little more than I'll trust you. A little more than I'll trust you. A little more than I trust you. And you know what God does? Listen to this. I just got this insight just now. This is going to revolutionize your life. I don't think so. We keep saying, God, a little more than I trust you. A little more than I trust you. And you know what God says? No, 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 no. If I take a little away, you'll trust me. Ooh. When I start to dwindle your savings, you'll pray. When I take your car and put some zits on your face week before the prom, then you'll trust me. Amen? Can anyone know what I'm talking about? Hey, for my graduation picture in high school, I had a big afro, so I looked like Bozo anyway because I had this thing on my head and my hair went like that. But for my graduation picture, I had one of the biggest Guinness Book of World Records zits right in the front of my You would think that it was a unicorn. They cut that horn off or something. And I had my sister put about this much foundation makeup over that. God says, yeah, you're going to pray. You're going to pray. It's not that I get more and more. He says, if I take away and take away, you'll trust me. What does that prove? That those things are our gods. But look what he says right after that. Verse 21. Verse 22. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Tithing. Now, a lot of you say, I ain't giving God my money. Well, as we said last week, is it God's money or is it your money? Now, if you think it's your money, just for any of you who think it's your money, go home today and tell God that he can't take it. Say it loud, you black and you proud. White and you proud, brown, whatever you are, just say it loud. I'm blonde and I'm proud. God, you can't take my money. And then step back and watch what happens. So, I mean, you know, you can give God your money if you want. But you know what? Here's what God does. Here's how good God is. God gives you X amount of money a year. He says, you know what? I'm going to let you keep 90%. I just want 10. But you know what? I want you to do it by faith. I'm going to tell my preacher not to hammer you on it. I'm just going to tell, he's going to tell you what the Bible says. I want you to do it by faith. I want you to do it trusting me. Do you trust God's economics? Now, I've had 16 years of math all through college, calculus, 1, 2, 3, differential equations, all kinds of stuff. 1 + 1 = 2. Unless you get into negative numbers, which we ain't going to talk about right now. 1 + 1 = 2. In God's economics, 1 + 1 is whatever he wants it to be. Amen? You don't know what I'm talking about. 1 + 1 could be a million to God. Watch this. 1 - 1 could end up becoming a million to you. Now, it's up to God. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Trust me, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Because he's never given me $1 million. But 1 + 1 has become 500. 1 + 1 has become 397.47. I seen to that. Turn to Malachi or Malachi. Right before Matthew. Watch this. I was at a Promise Keeper conference one time, and this gentleman was speaking. I can't remember who he was, but he said, if I want to see how faithful, how much you trust God, all I have to do is look in your checkbook. I was like, I'm going to write that down. Then I'm going to go home and look at my checkbook. The level of trust in God's economics will be measured by your faithfulness in your financial investment in his work and your giving. If you trust God's economics, you obey him in your giving. And you can say you do, but you don't give, you don't trust him. You're just lying. You're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to him. Watch this verse. Very interesting. It says in verse Malachi, verse 10, chapter 3. Bring all the tithes or tenths, 10%, into the storehouse. Now you may say 10th of my gross, 10th of my net, 10th of my vacation money, 10th of my bonuses. You give him a tenth of what you want him to bless. If you want him to bless your net, that's all he's going to do is minimize your taxes. If you want to bless your gross, he'll give you a raise. What you want to do? If you want to bless, if you want to give him a tenth of your vacation, he may send you to a nicer hotel. Personally, for 15 years, I've asked him to bless my gross. And that's what I believe it says, a tenth of your first part. And we'll see that in a minute. But look what he says. Bring your tithes into the storehouse or the house of God or where they do the ministry, where it says right there, that there may be food in my house. And look what he says. Try me or test me or watch if you test me, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, Miles didn't tell you that. The Rock Church didn't tell you that. God told you that. Whew. You know what God's saying? Now, let me just talk a little God trash for you. Stand over here. Just in case, you know, lightning goes the way I'm supposed to be. Hey, you tithe and watch me bless you. I guarantee it. That's what God's saying. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You know what? Prove God a liar. I test him on that all the time. And I've seen the faithful. You know what's so ironic about this? He can't fake this. When we do our crusades, we don't have the money for it. We never do when we make the commitment to do it. But we trust that God is going to talk to people to pay for it. Now, when we get to the crusade and the sound man comes and the light people come and the arena, you know what they come the day of the crusade? They do this. What are they asking for? Their money. We don't want you to pray for us. We ain't saved. We don't want to get saved. We want our money. So God can't fake that. What you do is you say, God, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to give and I am going to look for the money. Go ahead. Watch him do it. Very simple. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And this will be our last verse. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits, or the gross, of your increase. When you get an increase, you honor him first. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let me tell you something. God has given you a certain amount of money. He has called you to manage or steward it according to his word. He requires you to trust that he's Lord, and it requires you to trust in him. Does it take faith to tithe? Absolutely. Is it scary sometimes? Absolutely. Everything that you do by faith is kind of like, I don't know. But you know what happens? The more you do it, the more you see him faithful, the more you look forward to doing it, saying, God has always been faithful. He's always been faithful. I can see where this is going to go. Yeah. You may get to that point, and you probably will. He's going to bless you. But guess what? He's not going to bless you first. Don't work that way. And if you feel uncomfortable, then guess what? You ain't walking with God. You're not walking with God. God has not called you to walk by sight. He's called you to walk by faith. So you have to ask yourself, do you tithe? I mean, you may give God a tip, $50, $10, $5. God don't want a tip. He ain't serving you food. He wants you to give it up. Oh, man, I ain't doing that. Yeah, I know. I know. It's hard, huh? Well, that shows how much you trust me then. That shows how much you trust me. You would rather give it to him than him take it. Because when he takes it, he may miss and take 12%. He may send the angel down and kind of gets the numbers screwed up and think 10 is 100. Well, that ain't going to happen. But my challenge to you is to say, Lord, what area in my life am I not trusting you in? Here's your homework. You got your bulletin. Write this down on the back of your bulletin. Very easy, very simple. Choose one area in your life you're not trusting God. One area. Whether it be in your giving, whether it be in your prayers, whether it be in your service, whether it be in your Bible time with your family, whatever it is, you're not trusting God. You're not trusting because you don't know if he's going to be faithful, so you're holding back in your obedience. Whatever that area is, write it down and say, God, this week I am going to trust you 100% and then look to see what he does. Look to see what he does. And let me tell you something. Don't necessarily look only on the outside. Look on the inside. Because God, there may be someone in your life who you're praying for to get healed, and God wants you to go over there and anoint them with oil, and they don't get healed. That doesn't mean God didn't answer your prayer. You know what God wanted to do? He wanted to change you. He wanted to change you. So what you do is you do what God says, no matter what this area is. And you're giving, hey, you give like you're supposed to give, and then watch what God does. Say, God, I gave. Remember, he likes a cheerful giver, so make sure you're smiling. Don't give with an attitude. Yeah. What are you going to do now? Oh, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to take 10 more just for that attitude. Say, God, I believe that's what you said. So here you go. Go ahead. Boom. Whatever it is. If God calls you to go to Bible school, sign up. Now, I'm going to tell you one quick story. When I got the job for $500 a month, $125 a week, the next week, I was at a college, and I was at a Christian college speaking. Actually, I wasn't speaking. I spoke at a youth camp. We went to the Christian college for chapel. When we got back from the camp, I'm sitting there. Guy talked about Moses, chapter 12 in Genesis. This was 15 years ago. And God spoke to me as clear as day. He says, I want you to go to Bible school. I was like, I'm making $125 a week. I got three kids. What are you saying? He said, I want you to go to Bible school. That was on a Monday. I went to work. I was youth pastor, making $125 a week. The next day, I'm standing in the office. Someone walks by me. I'm standing, not minding my business. Someone walks by me and puts a piece of paper in my hand. I read the paper. It says Azusa Pacific is going to be holding classes in San Diego, $744 a class. It's more than I make in a month. If you get an A, the church will pay 80%. And still, that's still 25% of my pay. The next Monday, I was enrolled in a master's degree program, and I don't even have an undergrad. God tells you to do something. And not only did I not have the money, I didn't even have an undergrad degree to get in a master's program. They say, why are you here? God told me. How are you going to pray for it? I don't know. I got a master's of divinity. That means I'm divine. No, I'm like, here. I love to meet people who have PhDs. I tell them, I'll call you doctor, you call me master. You're kind of slow this morning. I got a little marinade. I'm sitting in the church, chapel. God says, you're going to go to school. Next day, 1 week later, I'm in school. And then 5 years after that, I had a degree. Did it make sense? How I was going to pay for it? How I was going to get accepted? No, it didn't matter. God said, I got it. I got this one. Don't worry. Boom, 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 boom. What is God calling you to do that you're not doing because you don't trust him? Do it. And watch what he does. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you just for the hope of walking by faith and seeing miracles in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing for the band Switchfoot and how their music is infiltrating the world. And we pray that those non-Christians that listen to that music and sing about it would be saved because of it and realize I'm singing about God. I'm not singing about a girl. I'm singing about God. But I like this music. Lord, I pray that whatever building you want us to have and whenever you want us to get it, we would have fun getting ready, thinking about the ministries and the 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, the people we can help. And that you would prepare the people to give us the money to get it. The people in this church, the people outside of the church, that even Kmart or whoever would have a relapse and just give us something. But Lord, your ways are not our ways. We're not going to figure it out, but we are going to, by faith, pray for insight, wisdom, and faith to live as though it's already done. That we wouldn't worry about what's not happening, but be excited about what's going to happen. And Lord, as we manage and are called to manage our talents, our gifts, our property, our resources, our money, our relationships, I pray that we would trust you, that you're always with us, that you keep your promises, that you are indeed the God of the Bible, that there's nothing too hard for you. When the Jews were standing at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were behind them, I know a lot of them said, we're done, we're dead. But Moses believed that you called him and you parted that water. Lord, may we walk as though you're going to part that water. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go out, if you want to see this place, just to pray about it, like I said, it's not for sale. You could drive, just go, yeah, go in there and drive people crazy. Just go over there and pray. And there's a restaurant on the parking lot. And just imagine that being a thrift store for people who want to come and get clothes and food, whatever. And like I said, it's not for sale. It's just if you have nothing to do and want to drive down there, and drive around and count the parking spaces. Because you know what God's going to do? God may show you, okay, now I got a vision of what we need. And he'll show you something like that somewhere else. Who knows? But if you want to just have fun, just go ahead and down there. If you don't care, go home and eat your lunch. God bless you. Have a good day. Keep going.